smell, but the zone is cooking. It's time for the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report.
All right, quickly, then we'll head to Edward Ashoff on the Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. But Coach Ash talking yesterday, not sugarcoating his assessment of Arkansas's defense. Awful, he said.
Just like that?
You know, there's no other way to put it. It's been a disappointment here the last couple of weeks. Some things that we did were better, but the number one thing that stood out was tackling. We missed tackles that led to big plays. There are a lot of deficiencies, certainly, on that side of the football. And as we were just talking about, Arkansas has got a lot of work to do to get in shape on
offense,
that side.
Offense, defense, special teams.
Other than that, other than those areas, they're right where they need to be.
Yeah, they're on their way. Mm.
Whether you're a Hog fan, a lover of Southern sports, or just someone who wants to know what's going on in the Premier League of College Athletics, snuggle up close to your radio, computer, or phone, because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Ashoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
All right, before we get to important things, we're talking about horror films with Halloween being a week out and some that are based on true life events. Edward Ashoff, any horror movies that stand out to you? And what was your first R-rated movie? Do you remember that?
Horror movies are my favorite genre, and I've been watching AMC nonstop for the last month.
Okay.
Because it's the best. This is the second best holiday outside of Christmas. The first R-rated movie I ever watched was Alien, and I was like 3 years old, and I could take the alien busting out of the guy's chest, but my dad couldn't. That's my claim to fame right there.
My dad wouldn't let me watch that part of the movie. We were just talking about it. It's funny you say that. My dad let me watch it when I was little, but he would not let me watch that particular scene, so it was years later that I actually saw it.
Yeah, I don't. My parents were like, well, he's eventually going to see it. Let's see what happens. And I was just sitting there like, show me more. I want to see more of these. So I got Predator, you know, I got to see all, I grew up watching all the old Halloween movies, Friday the 13th, even though my mom wouldn't let me watch those because she thought that science fiction horror was, you know, it was faker. She didn't like the humans killing people, so I had to sneak and stay up late watching USA to watch all those. So, yeah, love horror movies.
You're a sneaky little fella, Edward. I had no idea.
Big Walking Dead fan.
Yeah?
Everyone who reads the blog clearly knows.
Yes, yes. Okay, so there were some folks not walking dead, but certainly walking surprised, I guess, after last week's upset Saturday. What stood out to you about those games from last week? And did you have Missouri winning again last week?
No, I actually had Florida winning.
I did too.
They just they crumbled.
Yeah.
In the biggest game really of the season for them, they crumbled because if they won that, they controlled their own destiny and they would be sitting there with Georgia having two losses, Missouri having one, South Carolina having two, and basically, you know, they beat South Carolina, they win the SEC East. So that was a rough, rough loss for that team, and it just doesn't look like things are getting any better on offense.
No, it doesn't. What about this week? Again, they're trying to go for three games that at the start of the season looked unlikely Missouri would win. Now they're going for the trifecta against teams that started the year ranked ahead of them.
My better judgment would say, you know, pick Missouri. They have the hot hand. But I went against them again because South Carolina is a team that can play much better than it did against Tennessee. I think that was a game where they overlooked Tennessee because of how poorly Tennessee played outside of that Georgia game. It was at home for Tennessee. I think this is a game where South Carolina goes, listen, if we win this, we win out, we're probably going to Atlanta because Missouri still has to play at Ole Miss and still has to play Texas A&M. So I think that even though Connor Shaw is limping around, this is a team that has a running back in Mike Davis, which Missouri hasn't seen it. They have not seen a running back like him. They haven't seen a team as balanced as South Carolina yet. So I think South Carolina pulls away with this one. Dylan Thompson makes some better throws than he did against Tennessee.
So if they do win, it does, of course, put them in a good position. Do you think they ultimately win the East if they win this week?
I think so. I mean, Florida's stumbling around covered in bandages, same as Georgia right now. So I think that if they win this, I think Missouri falls at least one more time and gives South Carolina the tiebreaker and heads to Atlanta.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I saw...
Plus, I predicted that a couple weeks ago, so I just want to sound smart.
Yeah, go with that. I saw online today that Florida had yet another injury added to their MASH unit down there. So they have had... so is Powell is out now? For
Ronald?
For the season.
No, Jeremy Powell.
Jeremy Powell, okay.
So Driscoll, Easley, Chaz Green, Matt Jones, DeBose, freshman linebacker Matt Rowland, a defensive back, Nick Washington. I mean, they have had an unbelievable run of injuries down there in Florida. It's really and I wanted to poke at Florida anyway because I thought they were going to underachieve this year. Now they have a really good excuse for why they're underachieving. So I don't even feel good poking at them.
It's, you know, I actually wrote that today, that this is a weird season for Florida because on one hand, they have had injuries. They've had 8 season-ending injuries since fall camp. They've had a myriad of little nagging injuries. I mean, Ronald Powell's dealing with an ankle injury. Obviously, losing Matt Jones hurts them, but, you know, can those other running backs step up? Tyler Murphy has a shoulder injury. All these guys are just, you know, dropping like flies in Gainesville. And when you look at Speed Racer was going by me real quick. and when you look at what they had last week in Missouri, they only had 13 defensive players who were able to dress because they were that banged up. They're getting Damian Jacobs back next week against Georgia. But, yeah, it's like a MASH unit there. But on the other hand, the offense, even before Jeff Driscoll's injury, it didn't look like anything special. Yeah, they put up, you know, more than 400 yards against Miami, but, you know, they turned the ball over in the red zone. So it's really tough to say where this program is headed. They won 11 games last year, and they might win 6 this season. So it is really tough to judge Will Muschamp in his third year because of the injuries. But was the offense going to get any better? We don't know.
The Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com, SEC blogger, joining us if you're just tuning in on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. It has been a year of worst to first. The Red Sox in the World Series after being in last place the previous year. The Kansas City Chiefs, last place to first place right now in the NFL. And the Auburn Tigers trying to do it in the SEC. They have a very favorable schedule the rest of the way until they play in the Iron Bowl, after a bye week, I might add, at the end of the season. They will be favored feasibly in every game they play the rest of the way. What do you give them as far as the possibility of making it to Alabama without losing another game?
It's very possible. Georgia is obviously the toughest team that stands in their way right now, but I'm pretty sure that game is not in Athens, and that's going to be a tough game for them, for Georgia. You have to see how healthy that team is going to be coming back. I mean, if Todd Gurley is healthy enough to play against Florida, he's at 100% after that game, this offense is still going to be good because now they're going to have that downhill runner that they haven't had in the last few weeks, and I think that's really going to help out Aaron Murray. But that defense, I mean, Auburn's offense is going to score points. They're going to generate yards. Georgia's going to miss tackles like they always do, blow coverages. I think that game is going to be huge for Auburn because if they win that, and they have one loss going into the Alabama game, and let's say they beat Alabama, they're headed to the SEC championship game. If they win that, and let's say Missouri's undefeated, is Auburn going to the national championship? I don't know. I think it's tough because, you know, you're probably going to see a Florida State and Oregon and Ohio State be undefeated at that point, but it's going to be really interesting if a one-loss SEC team that, you know, had the misfortune of being ranked outside the top 25 and lost to LSU, you know, being left out. So I just wonder. I wonder what's going to happen here at the end of the season if Auburn pulls off the upset and beats Alabama.
It would be amazing if they even put themselves in position, and they've got work to do. They do have to go to Tennessee, which, as we saw last week, is not the easiest place to travel. They do have to play a Georgia team that will be, at that point, assuming they will be healthier at that point. But they do get a bye week before hosting Alabama.
Yeah, and looking right now, just from the start, Gus Malzahn, an early favorite to win SEC Coach of the Year if he keeps this up.
Well, how about Pinkel? I mean, it's between him and Pinkel,
yeah, Pinkel,
right?
Too. Yeah, I got to give Pinkel credit. But Malzahn, I guess, coming back after a year hiatus, Pinkel, you know, he's been there for a few years. But both of them, well-deserving, you know, if they keep it up.
If the season ended today, where would you go?
I would say Pinkel. Yeah. Because of I know that they probably had a lot more talent and experience than Auburn had, but you have to look at the mindset of this team last year. They were down in the dumps. They had no confidence in the second half of the season because of those injuries. Plus, you know, we didn't know what they were going to look like with a brand-new offensive coordinator, and Pinkel, it looked like, was on the hottest seat in the entire country coming into the year. So I have to give it to him because, you know, Gus Malzahn, we knew they were going to be better. We didn't know how good Missouri was going to be.
Got to give Gus credit taking a team that only won, what, three games last year, though?
Three games, yeah.
You know, that's
pretty good.
Yeah.
And in the SEC West.
Exactly.
Mark May was on with the morning guys today, and they were talking about Arkansas. And he basically tried to get the Arkansas fan base to calm down. He didn't say it in so many words, but that was basically what his message was. Is it about what you expected, better than you expected, worse than you expected? Where do you, from what you're seeing from Arkansas, how does it compare to what your expectations were?
It's about the same. I went into this season saying I didn't think Arkansas was going to make it to a bowl game. And when you look at what they lost, the style of play that Kirk Bielema wants, he just doesn't have his players right now. And that stretch they went through, I mean, at the beginning of the year, I didn't have them winning any of those games. And, you know, to start off with that loss to Rutgers, I think that really derailed the confidence of this team more than anything. Because they come back and they play well against Texas A&M, but not well enough. I mean, I think those two games right there really hurt them. Because look what Florida did. When you look at this Florida team now and they scored 30 points on Arkansas, that has to hurt you. 52 the next week, 52 the week after. 17 points in three games is not what you think when you think of a downhill running game. They have not generated a passing game whatsoever. I didn't think they would play this poorly, but the record is what I thought it would be at this point. Now you have to play a tough Auburn team. That was a toss at the beginning of the year. Now I don't see Auburn losing that game. Plus, they have this team is playing Florida Atlantic to get some even more confidence inserted into this team at Ole Miss, you know, playing Mississippi State, and then at LSU, which is always kind of a toss because it's a rivalry game. But you can clearly see there's a tremendous talent difference between LSU and Arkansas. So I remember you asked me last week, you know, would they have a better chance of winning two games or none going out, and I still stand by it. They have a better chance of losing out than winning two games to finish the season.
Edward, you travel around a lot. There's a story in USA Today that I saw about the most insufferable fan bases. Which fan base do you find the most irritating in the SEC?
Oh, what a question. You know, I don't, and I'm being honest when I say this, I don't say that they're irritating at all. I think that there are more fan bases in the SEC who change their emotions so quickly.
Okay.
Like the Missouri fans have jumped all over me now because I picked against them. After I picked them to beat Georgia, and after I was pretty fair with what I thought the season would be, and granted I was wrong, but you know, they're a really mild-mannered group last year. Now they're, you know, they're getting all this attention, they're getting all this confidence now, and they're coming at me. Obviously, it's well documented that Arkansas fans, for the majority, didn't really like me when I first came in. I don't know why. I guess Florida and Arkansas have some underneath rivalry that I never knew about because I went to Florida and I got thrown into that.
They're bitter about the SEC championship game from a couple years ago.
It's the jorts, man. It's just the jorts. That's all
so.
It is.
And I guess, you know, they were upset that I picked them third two straight years in the SEC. I would say that, you know, I would say Arkansas then was really passionate toward my negativity.
Mm-hmm.
How
about this?
I say every fan base in the SEC is at one point come at me. Kentucky came at me this year, and even Vanderbilt came at me.
Whoa.
So,
and Vanderbilt, their barbs are really mean because they're super smart and they come up with good stuff.
They're very, very witty.
What fan base do you think is the most unrealistic about their team's place in the world?
Let me think about that one. You know, I went to Florida, and they're lofty expectations. If there were three players on the team that could fill out offense and defense, they would still expect to win the SEC. I mean, Arkansas last year, mm-hmm. I have to say, that was a fan base really thought they had a chance to make it to the SEC when John L. Smith took over. And I will even say that when there was one story that I linked that said the most overrated team, and I said Arkansas wasn't overrated going into the season, even though Bobby Petrino was gone. And I was obviously wrong about that, but it seemed like before the season that when I was like, I don't really see this team making it to a BCS bowl game, it was as if I said they had no business being in the SEC.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love the passion. I do love the passion, but the Twitter tough guys.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The trolls.
Well, just in case you're interested, here we go. The five most insufferable fan base in college football, according to USA Today.
Okay.
They have Notre Dame.
Okay.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, but I do like Notre Dame fans, though. All the Notre Dame fans I know I like a lot, it is a little annoying that they can't.
They're pretty classy.
They are. And they're, they're treated with, they get this pass. They're not part of a major conference. And I guess as an SEC fan, I get irritated by that because the SEC has this powerful brand.
Yes.
And Notre Dame's like, well, we don't need that. We're cool.
They have their own brand.
Miami is one that's listed here. They have a tie between Ohio State and Penn State fans.
Okay.
Arkansas makes the list.
Okay.
And Colorado, it says it's pretty.
Colorado.
It's really pretty in Boulder, which might be why Colorado fans haven't attended home games with any reliability in a decade. When fans do stalk the place and the Buffaloes start to lose, they tend to disappear somewhere in the second quarter. I was a little surprised having gone out there this year, the few number of folks that had come to the game, despite the fact they had just beaten Colorado State.
You were there.
Yes.
It happened.
Anyway. All right, well, there you go. I guess we'll visit about the next opponent next week. It's Auburn coming to town, and they've got not a bye this week, but they've got a very easy game.
Close enough.
Their game may be easier than Arkansas this week, actually.
So, oh, wow.
Sorry.
Somebody made that joke about Florida this week.
Who's Florida playing?
The bye week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you know what? Some teams really need it right now. Arkansas is one of them. So
Florida, definitely.
Yeah. All right, Edward, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.